Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Joining us now, he is Tyler Dunn from GoLongTD.com. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Dunn as he joins us on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. What's up, Mr. Dunn? How are you?
What's up, Sparky? Doing great. Just did a little winterizing outside, which is always a little sad when you got to get the snowblower out and prepare for the madness. But hey, whether it's out there in Wisconsin, here in Buffalo, we all got to do it.
I have not started my snowblower yet. My neighbor did 2 weeks ago, and I still have not started mine. I probably should do that at some point to make sure it runs still. Okay, so let me ask you this. We're going to get to your piece that was phenomenal. I've been talking about it for the first 40 minutes of the show with Evan Williams and Leroy Butler on GoLongTD.com. Your thoughts on what the Packers did yesterday against a depleted and beat-up Niners team?
Man, it is damn impressive when you beat a team 38-10 and you had a drop touchdown and you easily could have thrown, what, two or three interceptions that were dropped by San Francisco, and there's a play where Jordan Love could have fumbled. I mean, it was far from perfect, and yet you still absolutely dismantle and decimate and have this 49er team that's haunted you for several years. Now they're on life support. So I think that says a lot about the Packers and the state of things. It wasn't pretty, but, hell, they should make no apologies. There's a reason they're winning these games, and you just want to be playing your best at the right time, like they were last year.
Sometimes, as an outsider to a fan base, you realize how stupid some fan bases might be, and then you realize that your own fan base can be stupid at times, too, so you don't want to be overly critical of another fan base. Having said that, these people that think Kyle Shanahan sucks and should be fired and all of that, I swear to you, I don't understand. Like, have you not been paying attention to how good this dude has been for a number of years from a play design and play calling and everything else that goes along with it? How do you view Kyle Shanahan?
It's funny you say that. I actually wrote a column not saying that he should be fired. I don't think it's gotten to that extreme.
Well, people on Twitter have gotten to that extreme. These Niner fans are nuts.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to go back to the Jim Tom Sula days by any stretch of the imagination. But the lionization of Kyle Shanahan, I think, is a little extreme. You know, I think this is a coach who, yeah, schematically, X's and O's, as good as it gets for the better part of the last 6-7 years. There's a reason a lot of other offenses are copying what he's doing. I mean, it is a copycat league, like Leroy and Evan Williams said. And Shanahan does something, and other people are doing it. So that speaks to his ability, his intellect. I just really think that we might look back at Kyle Shanahan as, you know, Don Coryell, you know, somebody who schematically did a lot for the sport, but when it got to the playoffs, when it got to those big moments, couldn't get it done. I mean, I know it seems harsh, but hell, I mean, you go back to 28-3, obviously, when he's the OC for the Atlanta Falcons to completely collapse there. You blow a double-digit lead in one Super Bowl, and then you don't even know what the over – I mean, maybe he knows what the overtime rules are, I mean, which makes it worse, because anybody who knows anything about football knows you don't give Patrick Mahomes the opportunity to have the ball last, and that's exactly what they did. And then the players, they sounded like, you know, junior high students that waltzed into a college exam. They didn't know what the hell the rules were after that Super Bowl. And then you look at this season, Sparky. I mean, they've blown games. They've blown double-digit leads in fourth quarters. I get it. A lot of important players are hurt, but newsflash, that's the case for a lot of teams. And that just looked like a wounded animal of a team on the side of the road yesterday. They're in a bad state right now, and I know Kyle Shanahan doesn't like to take the blame. He likes to deflect and project and point the finger at others. He's going to have to start pointing at himself if they're going to get better.
12 guys on the field in back-to-back plays. Like, he came unhinged the second time it happened. They got flight for it the first time. The Packers had a motion penalty. They come out of that and get nailed on the next play for 12 guys on the field again. And again, that is all coaching, whether it's him or the defensive coordinator, whoever's in charge of that. That type of undisciplined, unorganized type stuff usually does not happen with these Shanahan teams.
And then he's, you know, he's losing his mind. It's like somebody invaded his home. The guy goes ballistic on the, and he blamed the officials afterwards, saying that the Packers sub, so he has the opportunity to sub. And I don't know. I mean, just like get it together, man. Back-to-back plays in the red zone. You've got to take some accountability there. And, you know, the first thing he brings up after the game is the run defense and not being able to stop anything in the first half. And he's defending the play of his quarterback. I don't know. I've just seen this so often from head coaches where if they're the expertise of one side of the ball and the temperature is rising, they find a way to subtly kind of blame others. And I don't know. You knew that your quarterback had a broken finger in his non-throwing hand. You can't tell me that didn't affect the two fumbles to some extent. And Josh Dobbs doesn't give you a little bit of a chance of winning. And why are you giving the ball to Christian McCaffrey this much? He's not the same with the Achilles tendonitis issues and both Achilles, right? And Jordan Mason is playing as well as any running back in the league for a five-game stretch. And he's got, I believe he had one carry, two carries, and then three carries yesterday, his last three games since McCaffrey's been back. There's just a lot of stubbornness when it comes to Kyle Shanahan.
All right, let's talk about this piece that you did with Leroy and Evan Williams. So tell me how this whole thing came about to get them to sit down and have some food together.
Oh, man, I appreciate you talking about it, too. So thank you so much to everybody out there who's made their way over to GoLongTD.com to read the story. And I threw up some audio of the hangout as well if you want to check that out. But, yeah, you know, early in the season, just catching up with Leroy, who we all know, we all love. He is one of a kind. And I think I wrote this in the story. He's the kind of guy where, you know, he'll just call you out of the blue and want to ask about your kids and your family and talk for 40, 50 minutes while he's going through the car wash and, you know, running some errands. There is only one Leroy Butler as a human being. So we're just catching up at one point and says that he loves Evan Williams. And I'm like, yeah, this guy can play. And I just kind of had the idea, you know, let's bring you guys together, sit down for dinner, and just talk football and see what happens more than anything. I did this similar thing in Buffalo with Thurman Thomas and a running back the Bills drafted a while back and had a lot of fun talking over wings. So, yeah, we got together near the stadium at a restaurant, and I didn't really know what to expect, right? They come from two totally different worlds. Leroy is from the projects down in Duval County. We know his story, right? He had the leg braces. He was in a wheelchair, and he had a learning disability. He's getting bullied. Doesn't have his dad. It's just so much going on in Leroy's world. Evan Williams grew up much differently in California, but the more we talked, the more we kind of dug into their football intellect, you could just see so many parallels. I mean, it really blew my mind on how similar these two players are, and Leroy genuinely sees himself in Evan Williams, which, you know, is a good sign because he's in Canton.
Okay, so I want to know a couple things. Did Evan Williams know who Leroy was when you reached out to set this up, and how did that whole thing play when you tried to get it all going?
Yeah, I think he did. He definitely did his research. That's what was cool about it. You know, we got there a little before Leroy. I mean, here's Leroy. He drove up from Milwaukee.
Right.
And then he drove back to Milwaukee late at night after hanging out for 2+ hours. So we had a little time to catch up, and yeah, he said he was looking him up on Google and YouTube and watching different videos and learning what he could. I think he had somewhat of a sense, but we forget he was born the July of Leroy Butler's final NFL season.
Right.
So, you know, they're taking over Lambeau Field 30 years apart here, but he knows his history. The way he thinks through the game, it's not a coincidence when you see Evan Williams just make the play he did to end that win against San Francisco, the instinct to just trigger. He has such a sense for what everybody else on the field is doing. And I think Leroy's stories, like, genuinely kind of captivated him. You know, he's bringing up stuff like Mike Holmgren telling him to get his own damn shirt. Yep. When he's wearing Michael Jordan stuff, and Brian Noble teaching him all about that Packers-Bears rivalry and what that means, and Brett Favre taking him into meetings. He's kind of rattling off story to story to story, and Evan is so into it, which I think it says a lot about somebody who's 23. He's an old soul. I mean, this isn't somebody that's just glued to a screen, zoning out, you know, surrounded by yes men and yes women and living in that NIL world. I mean, he got into that as well on his transfer portal experience and getting to Oregon, and this is somebody who genuinely wants to bust his butt and get better at this profession, and it stands out in today's athletes.
And the fact that he fell in the draft, and I don't think he thought he was going to fall in the draft. I mean, to being ignored at the combine, not getting any interviews at the combine in any of those plush suites with all the different teams. I mean, as I read the story, I could just imagine how crushing that was for a dude who thought he was going to go relatively high to have nobody have any sort of interest in him, or at least that's what he thought.
Yeah, it was and the draft is interesting like that because as he kind of learned throughout the course of this conversation, because, you know, Leroy's plugged in and he's kind of putting the puzzle pieces together, and he's thinking of Sammy Seal, a longtime scout, greeting him at Lambeau Field when he was a Packer, and he's the scout that loved him, and I know he's trusted by Brian Gutekunst there in the front office. So, you know, and he's also the one who kind of was on Romeo Doubs too. So, I mean, if you're looking for somebody who's really trusted in that front office, Sammy Seal has been around 30 years in that scouting department. So I think he kind of figured out this team liked him. But you know, Senior Bowl, no teams are really asking to talk to him. The combine, he's not going to any of those suites for extended conversations. He had no top 30 visits. You know, each team can bring in 30 prospects to sit down and talk, and nobody even wanted to do that. It was just a Zoom call here and there. So, yeah, he didn't really know what to expect. His girlfriend told him she thought that he'd go in the third. His brother, who plays in Canada now, was predicting fourth. And as this thing kept going, he's like, I'm going to go undrafted. Like, what the hell? What is going on here? And then he thinks San Francisco is going to take him. You know, the hometown team, he grew up, what, 6-7 miles from Levi Stadium. They texted him. Somebody with the organization texted him and said, hey, be ready. You know, this is a big day for you. Get excited. And then what did the Packers do? They leapfrogged San Francisco in the fourth round, and they took Evan Williams, and San Francisco took another DB who's had a good rookie year. But this is how one team can kind of get past another team. You know, I'm thinking of the Chiefs and the Bills here. The Chiefs, they drafted Trent McDuffie the same year the Bills drafted, like, Kyer Elam. So I know it's the first round, this is the fourth round, but maybe Green Bay stole somebody from San Francisco here that helps them eventually, finally, once and for all, get past San Francisco.
Tyler Dunn, golongtd.com. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Dunn. Check out this great piece he put up last week. Leroy Butler, Evan Williams, a rookie safety, having a meal together. Ty Dunn orchestrates the whole thing and then sits there and writes out what all happened. My favorite part of that piece, because I've known Leroy forever, is the whole you should write a book. That man must have said that in my presence about 5 million times to whoever the case may be of interest. So when I read it, I chuckled and I laughed. I was like, okay, here we go again. Write the book. Okay, fine. But as you write it out and you expand on it as far as what it meant and what he was trying to drive home to Evan Williams, that really made it a powerful comment.
That I'm glad you brought that up because that was my reaction as well. We're sitting there. It kind of came out of nowhere. It's abrupt. Like, what? Leroy? Like, write a book. This kid, he's 23. He's, the rookie season's half over. I think me and Evan kind of looked at each other like, what are you talking about here? And yet that's the thing with Leroy. He kind of explained his thought process behind it. And you know, you want to speak things into existence.
Yep.
Like, you have to. If you don't, who will? Right, and if you have any doubts, and if you, God forbid, verbalize those doubts, that negativity, that's going to happen too. So he lived it. Right? You know, he's 8 years old. He's telling his mom, I'm going to be in the NFL one day. I'm going to get you out of poverty. And that's exactly what he does. You know, somebody who had his feet broken, to, you know, to fix the situation. He's in braces and he's in wheelchairs and, you know, and nothing's going right as a kid. He has the audacity to tell his mom that, speaks into existence, and does exactly what he said he was going to do. I think that he's an authority on that whole idea of speaking positivity and believing in it and then doing it. So he wanted Evan Williams to really believe he can be special, believe he can be great, because I think he knows he's going to put in the work. He knows that he's got the football IQ to keep up in this NFL. At one point he said, you know, you're 3 years ahead of where I was or most everybody is with how you see the game. And there's some specific plays he brought up. You know, he had a kryptonite play where he would kind of jump the tight end, Mark Tremura, in practice and leave Antonio Freeman behind him. He saw the same thing when the Packers played the Rams, and Evan Williams did not take that bait. Something small like that. I think he's seen enough of that in Evan Williams to know this kid can be special. He just kind of has to take it to another level and really believe that you've got another gear. Who knows? I mean, Evan, to his credit, like, he's just going to keep his head down and work, and he's not exactly a jotty note stopper autobiography anytime soon. But I think he has that in him. I think the Green Bay Packers really got a special one in Evan Williams.
Yeah, we all got a special one in Leroy Butler. That dude, I mean, everything, everybody he touches, he leaves a positive impact of some sort. And it's very cool. Tyler Dunn, golongtd.com. Go read this. Go read all of his stuff, all Bob McGinn's stuff. All great. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Dunn. Thank you so much, my friend. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much for the opportunity, Sparky. Anytime.